This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number two, company live from our Quicken Loan studio. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently on this championship Sunday, Friday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So T jumped out of the room for a little bit, and I was watching the end of the 2009 NFC Championship game between the Vikings and the Saints. Mm-hmm. They're running this on the NFL Network, and I was just watching the end, the game-winning field goal by the Saints. It is, if I give you 10 guesses as to who was the holder on that game-winning field goal for the Saints.
Never would get it.
For just start throwing out long in the tooth quarterbacks.
Long in the tooth time. The 2009 Saints.
I think if I gave you 100 guesses,
Bobby
you wouldn't
Hebert.
Get
there.
No, Bobby Hebert. No.
Bobby Hebert.
Not a bad guess. He's actually not synonymous with the Saints. That's why it's really true.
True, but he is New Orleans.
No, I'm saying Bobby Hebert is synonymous with the Saints, but the guy who was actually holding it, you wouldn't even.
Was it a quarterback?
It was a quarterback. So I would think most people forgot he was even there. I think he played one game. Because obviously Drew Brees was healthy.
It's hard to think of anybody quarterback for the Saints over the last decade plus other than Drew Brees.
Well, for the sake of the show, I'll tell you.
Who?
Mark Brunell.
Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
And then, of course,
snuck in a championship.
I know. And then, of course, curiosity got the best of me, and I'm like, let me see exactly. What was Mark's first year? 1994.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't like 21 or 20. He was 24 years old. He got a late start, man. Mark Brunell played for a long time. This will put it in perspective. Mark Brunell's first season was the year they canceled the World Series in Major League Baseball. Yeah. 1994.
Wow. Yeah, the parallels. My God. You weren't just looking at it, but the parallels between the 2009 season and the 2018 season.
Oh, are you kidding me?
It's pretty remarkable. Both 13-3, the losses in the regular season were to Tampa, Dallas, and Carolina. Number one seeds going in. It's crazy.
I would venture to guess that that's never happened before in NFL history, where you take a team and you try to repeat the same exact history this deep into the season, not 4 weeks, not 8 weeks, but through 17 regular season weeks, couple of rounds of the playoffs, final weekend before the Super Bowl, final 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. I don't think that that's ever happened before.
No.
Those four things.
Yeah.
Same win-loss record. You lost to the same teams. Wow.
Yeah. No.
That's crazy stuff right there.
Oh. So if
I mean, who even thinks to find that? Though?
I don't know.
Like, how do you begin the process of finding that?
Yeah, I guess it's probably accidental. You know what I mean? You start looking at, when was the last time the Saints won a Super Bowl? And you go through it, and you're like, all right, what was their season like? Oh, man, wow, how the heck did they lose to the Cowboys that year?
Yeah, I guess it's not that hard if that's your job to research.
It just probably occurs to you. But they have these stats all over the place nowadays.
I haven't seen one. That's uncanny. That's a really good stat. Good job. All right, let me ask you this, Teague. Who will benefit or who stands to benefit the most from the weather in Arrowhead? And before you answer that, although I think you already have an answer.
Yeah.
You do? Go ahead.
I do.
Yeah.
Pats.
Why?
Because we see what Pat Mahomes in Kansas City want to do. Like, they want to stretch the field.
It looked pretty good in the snow last week.
They really did. But that was like kind of snow.
It's going to be dry.
I know, but it was kind of snow. It wasn't it was blustery or
windy.
No,
but it was still wet.
It was wet.
Wetter than it's going to be this weekend.
It was chilly.
Yeah.
But if it should get like really cold and really, I don't know, out of control conditions, which I don't know is going to happen. But let's say that it did, because that's the question. Who would benefit in the extreme weather?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the Pats, mainly because Kansas City. Look, they're explosive, man. They want to push the ball downfield. And Pat Mahomes almost 9 yards per attempt, which is crazy in the National Football League. Whereas the Patriots, they want to run the ball if they can. And more importantly, when they do throw the ball, they're not pushing it way down. They're not throwing over 15 yards. I mean, James White, as their leading receiver last week. Set a team record with 15 receptions. He had 97 yards, didn't have a carry. Right, he's invaluable, but it's mostly screens and things of that nature against teams that want to play zone. So, if I'm saying who benefits if the conditions become a character in this game, it's the New England Patriots because they're so much safer. Their offense is safer to execute, whereas Kansas City, it's a lot of precision and it's a lot of improvisation on the part of Pat Mahomes. Who's magical, but a lot of that's just improvised. Mm-hmm. He starts scrambling, finds an open guy. He telegraphs it to them. Nobody else knows it. He makes a great play. It's crazy how he does it, but he does it. But it's risky. It can be very risky if weather becomes an issue.
By the way, it's going to be a high of 30 on Sunday. Partly sunny.
Low of.
Breezy. Doesn't say low of. I'm going to guess with a 640 kick local. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's going to be 640 Eastern. Was it an hour difference?
Yeah,
I believe it's going to be 540 local there. So figure.
Probably 10 degrees cooler maybe as a low.
I was going to say, 10 might be, I guess probably around 10, 8, 7, 8, something mm-hmm. like that. Probably low 20s. What I was thinking, and I really hope that we don't see this, but I fear that we could.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about, the whole, Pats and trying to be ahead of the end of the dynasty. I've swung and missed a million times. Yeah. I've given up on that. I've put that one as a permanent loss on my sports broadcasting resume. I've been wrong on that with the Pats, as wrong as I've been with anything. I'm wrong every year with them, all right? So I'm not even trying to battle that anymore. But what I am worried about is, and what I fear that I don't want to watch, I don't want to see the Pats come out, say, we'll go 13 plays, we'll give them 8 minutes and 12 seconds, a little nickel and dimes, a little cut, little cut, little cut, little cut. Work the clock, here's Edelman, here's White, here's this mm-hmm. guy, here's Hogan, here's Gronk for 9, first down, couple of runs up the gut, move the tick, 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 and there's 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, and it's 7-0 Pats, and then maybe Mahomes a little jittery, and they go three and out, and then they punt, and then it's, slice, 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 and it's 5 minutes left in the second quarter, and it's now 14-0 Pats. We're sitting there saying, why is Mahomes not playing football? I am worried that they're going to keep the ball away from him.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think that they can do that?
Of course. And if you're Bill Belichick, and that's your game plan.
I know. But don't you think they'll be able to do it?
Because they can execute like that. They have so many different ways. As Jason was just talking about, Jason Lockenfour, they have so many ways that they can win and so many things that they can morph into. It's so much more interesting.
Well, let's examine that. Hold on. What do you mean? They can win? They can't, I don't think they could win in a shootout, do you?
They did in
week 6, 43-40, I guess.
Not usually.
Okay.
I would absolutely not. But what's going to lead to my next point, which I was getting ready to say, is isn't it so much more interesting if they have to try to win in a shootout? Meaning
yes.
the Pats.
Yes, 100%.
Not Kansas City.
Yes.
But if the Pats have to try to win in a shootout.
Yes, the more Brady, the better. Right, the more interesting it becomes. Can he do it again?
Agreed. Because it's so
yes.
We always get these situations where, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots way, they do your job. It's like it's like steady and it's like constant and it's like we do what we're supposed to do and then it's successful. Right?
Yeah.
And so they get a lead, and then all of a sudden they're winning a game, and it's like, okay, but this is just what we expected. It's so much different to watch them. Like in the Super Bowl last year, BT, when they're down and not playing well, and they're trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, they're scrambling. Like, how are we going to get this done? Like, how are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel the pressure.
You do. The angst setting in within Patriot Nation.
Yes. Well,
the fear that it's over.
But you feel the angst of their process not working,
uh-huh.
right? And that's so much more interesting to me. I agree with you. If it's a boring, slowed down, we scored 2 touchdowns, we held you to nothing, now we're in a grinded out second half. That's not interesting to me. What's interesting is when the Pats get tested, because sometimes they fail. A lot of times they fail.
Yes.
They lost to the Giants and the Eagles mm-hmm. in 3 Super Bowls. So
usually
they don't fail
at this stage, though.
You're right.
That's where they usually don't.
You're right.
But it wouldn't, the thing about even if the Patriots' first game plan is thwarted, and I think that, and listen, maybe this is even deeper genius of Bill, while most of us surmise it's going to be, 7 yards here, 6 yard shallow crossing route, run left side, Gronk, Hogan, Edelman, move the stick slowly and methodically, and before you know it, you look up and it's an 8 or a 9 minute drive. And even if they just get a field goal, they've really kept Mahomes on ice and not involved in the game. Maybe Belichick comes out with something totally counter to that, and they have they just play a different brand of football. Now that might be a little risky. I don't know if you want to do that, but the thing about the Pats is that when their first plan goes awry, they always have a sound second plan. When other teams' first plan goes awry, it usually gets a little frenetic and a little skittish.
Yeah.
The Pats don't get nervous.
No, they
don't.
They're
always prepared.
They don't. And a lot of that, they benefit from the fact that they're home, BT. Like, they're always the number one seed or number two sometimes, and then the number one gets knocked out. Whatever. They're always that number, hosting home games in the postseason. The times that they have struggled, though, BT, and this is interesting, and it's relevant to this week because the Kansas City Chiefs are the home team tonight, this weekend. The Pats have lost on the road in the AFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah.
The last two, the last three, actually, in the row, because Denver twice, and who was the other one, Sam? Do you know the Colts? All Peyton Manning, basically. Mm-hmm. So they lost to the Colts and then to Denver twice. They don't do as well on the road as they do at home, which makes this much more of an interesting game to me. If this was a home game,
we'd all be leaning Pats. Pats going to win. Pats going to win.
They don't lose at home.
Yeah, no,
they don't lose at home ever. They certainly don't lose at home in the postseason.
I have a question, though. I think I might know the answer. Like, why, when we talk about home field advantages in the NFL, we always throw out Arrowhead. Yeah. We always throw out Seattle
as great venues.
Yeah, we really don't throw out Gillette and Foxborough.
Yeah, we should. We do a disservice.
Is it because we think that the genius and the greatness of Brady and Belichick just elevates it?
That's a good question.
Yeah, like, we never put that in the proper place. Like, that venue is daunting. You just don't go in there and win too often.
It's daunting by record.
Which means it's daunting by execution.
True, but it doesn't feel like Arrowhead is loud, and it's like to see.
Yeah, they won last week. That was the first playoff game they won since '93 at home.
I know.
So maybe we're like disillusioned as to what's real.
But I'm thinking more regular season. I'm thinking regular season Arrowhead.
Yeah, it's loud.
The tailgate is one of the greatest in the country, right? And it's a sea of red.
Yeah, you can't bring a rack of ribs to the line of scrimmage.
I agreed, but I'm talking about the fans. The fans are like, they're lathered up.
Yep.
Best way to put it. They're lathered up to cheer, you know, for lack of a more detailed explanation. Whereas I was almost at Foxborough and Gillette, it's not that loud, right? It's intense, mm-hmm. but it's not that loud. So I don't know.
I think I know the answer to that, because there's certain venues. This is just a guess here, from a fan's point of view. I think that there are, you know, if you close your eyes and you mm-hmm. dumped yourself into certain settings, right? Yep. You can differentiate between a roar and a palpable presence that is derived from confidence and one that's derived from desperation. And that desperation is far more noticeable.
Yeah.
It's nervousness. It's you're drunk. You're terrified. You're prematurely thrilled. You're going through the full gamut of emotions. And when you spike like that, It becomes more of a more combustible. When you expect to win, it's a constant buzz. The buzz doesn't dissipate fully, but it doesn't go wildly high and wildly low. The fluctuations are less because you expect to win.
Do you think Kansas City Chiefs fans, the sea of red out in Arrowhead, do you think they are expecting to win this weekend?
No.
You don't?
I don't think they expect to win. Hmm. I think that they.
That's interesting.
Well, I think that they should, first of all, if they expect to win, then they haven't been watching football for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they
good point.
You know, I mean, come on.
That's
you play
point.
Tom Brady and Belichick. I understand they've lost a few title games on the road, which we just chronicled.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady and Belichick.
Yeah,
to expect to win, that would be a little ambitious.
Yeah.
To know that you have the talent to win, that's a different story.
Yeah.
They're not. Here's the thing. If I'm a Chiefs fan, and just, you know, having gone through this, having season tickets for the Jets, you walk, as a fan, you walk into a stadium one of three ways. You walk in saying, we're going to kick the crap out of this team. Let's go. We own them. Or the exact opposite is, we're going to get destroyed. We're done. Let's just go drink. Or somewhere in the middle. You know what? I don't know. I know we're in the same neighborhood, and if we execute a little bit better, if we get that one fumbled, if we get that one call, we'll win. Mm-hmm. And as Chiefs fans go up that escalator and into those corridors, that's how they should feel.
Yeah.
They shouldn't expect to lose. They shouldn't expect to win. They should feel they've got a real chance if they handle business and play their game. Then they will win. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. All right. Let's get back to the Rams and the Saints a little bit here. I want to play some sound from Sean McVay, and I want to play a little something from Sean Payton as well. We'll get the tweets going at Tiki and Tierney. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in about 20 minutes. Jump in. You heard what we just discussed. What do you think? 1-855-212-4227 on the Friday before Championship Sunday. It's awesome. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
The right hire can really make an impact on your business. I've had this experience many times hiring for my various companies, and having a resource like LinkedIn where you can check resumes and references and everything else has been a huge, huge benefit. You can post some of your jobs, if you would like, on job boards and hope that they'll find the right person for your job. But think about it. How often do you check job boards? 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting those job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insight from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to a new opportunity like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tiki and get $50 off your first job post now. That's LinkedIn.com/Tiki to save $50. LinkedIn.com/Tiki. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, get it all at geico.com. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206. So we all read this morning that Kansas City's resodded Arrowheads Field. Mm-hmm. Does that play plenty part at all or no?
Maybe. It depends on how the sod takes. I always hate fields that get resodded like this because the traction is different, especially if it's freezing. And I don't know if it's going to be frozen. But sometimes when you put different types of sod or newer or older sod together, it becomes like half of it freezes, half of it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
I
would think they would take up all the pre-existing old sod.
Well, I don't know if they did the whole thing.
I thought they did. Or maybe just the middle of the field. That's a good question,
actually. It's usually the middle.
That's true.
That's to your point. It's usually, like, you see it. It's visually. It looks terrible.
Yep.
Right? You see the middle and it's all, because it gets all chewed up. It just looks, it's odd sometimes. But it shouldn't have that much of an effect, especially if it's that cold and it's just kind of permafrost frozen type.
Mm-hmm.
Grass, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be okay.
Teak, here's our poll question. And let's check on the results here. Entering Championship Sunday, the guys want to know which quarterback matchup creates the most compelling Super Bowl backdrop. The options, Brady Breeze, Mahomes Breeze, Brady Goff, and Mahomes Goff. 41% of you say, I want the old Lions. Mm-hmm. I want an old Obi-Wan and Darth Vader swinging his swords there. 41%. And then 38% of you say Mahomes and Breeze. That'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just 3% say Brady and Goff. 18% say the Young Bucks, yeah. Mahomes and Goff.
Mahomes and Breeze. That's the one I want to see.
I didn't vote either yet, but that's the one that I would vote for. If I can't get Mahomes Breeze, I guess I'll take one more dance with nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, because then at that point, I would really root for Breeze to get that second championship. But boy, Mahomes is, he's rare in the sense that, you know, one thing we do as a sporting society, and social media is a big part of this for sure, we are very quick to elevate, mm-hmm. and then we are very quick to destroy you. And then once we destroy you, we eventually get around, because we all have good hearts, we pick you back up and we help build you back, if you're a good person.
Yeah.
But the Patrick Mahomes stuff, the hype, the excitement, it's fully justified.
Yeah.
Like, there's not an embellishment. There's not anything that seems zany or unnecessary. Everything he's received this year has been on point. He deserves it.
Agreed. But it's also because He's fresh, right? It's just new. It's a breath of fresh air to see how he plays the game and with his energy and his obviously his ability. But this is his first year as a starter. You know what I mean? He's going to win the MVP in his first year as a starter.
Man.
And he's in the AFC Championship game. His first year as a starter. And a lot of it is due to him, right? They have a good squad. There's offensive talent everywhere. But when you have offensive skill position players that are that good, they are extraordinarily dependent upon the quarterback. And he's fit the bill. And so it's just a great story. It's a fresh story. It's new. He looks the part. He's quirky in a sense because of his voice and his look and his background. And I don't know. It's easy to gravitate towards him. In some ways, you know, if he has success, continues his success, let's say he messes around and wins a Super Bowl and he continues his success, you easily see him becoming the face of the National Football
League. Oh, I think he's already more than halfway there. I mean, who's going to push this kid aside?
But ultimately, he's got to win championships, right? In order to be that guy, you can't just kind of languish right below the, you know, the pinnacle. You got to like reach it and become celebrated and go to Disney World because you're the Super Bowl MVP and be, you know, lauded and talked about as the Super Bowl champion. It's almost necessary. You can't be the face of the NFL unless you've done that. He has the potential.
And that's
why this is exciting for us as a football fan base or fandom. Not a team specific, but just fandom wise, because it's new, man. We've been dealing with the whole thing for a long time, BT.
I was gonna say, but not only is it a new face and it's a different team, it's a team that hasn't won in forever.
Yeah. What do we say back at Super Bowl IV?
Super Bowl IV. They won right after the Jets. They played the Packers in Super Bowl I. The Jets and the Colts played in Super Bowl III. Of course, Joe Namath won. Of course, I wasn't born. And then the next year, the Glenn Dawson and the Chiefs won. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know what I saw, and I'd love to give it the proper attribution, but I just don't recall. I was kind of just thumbing through Twitter the other day. It was awesome. You know how they had the news and notes? I mean, obviously, it's a newspaper thing, so it's really less pertinent today. But back in the day, you'd wake up, daily transactions, you know, whether it was going to the disabled list or so-and-so signed so-and-so, news and notes. And I would always read these, especially for baseball. And I guess it would have been the Pioneer St. Paul Press? One of the newspapers in Minnesota is where I saw this. Somebody found the article from the day that Patrick Mahomes was born.
What?
Because his dad was playing for the Twins, as we know.
So it was
a local Minnesota paper that was saying Pat Mahomes is expected to return to the team in 2 days or so as he's at home to be with his wife and the birth of their first child, Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, oh my God, 1995.
Wow,
somebody
crazy.
Found this pretty cool nugget on Twitter. Ack, who do you like, man? Which way are you going here? You got a sense of who's going to win the games?
I like the Saints. I'm sticking with them because I've gone with them throughout.
See, to me, that's a ridiculous. That's
I can't.
Dumb.
I can't go back now. I've loved the
but
way.
But it's also justified.
I love the way they've played all year long. So
I could respect that. But I mean, if you think the Rams are going to win, why wouldn't you?
I don't think the Rams are going to win. I do think
the Saints
because
the way you positioned it, you said I've been going with the Saints all year. It's almost like begrudgingly I'm going to stay with them.
And
did it sound like that, Teak?
Yeah, a little bit.
And I'm begrudgingly. But I am begrudgingly staying with the Patriots.
You are.
Because I've said to you before, until I see it, I can't go against them. Because I keep thinking for years that, like, all right, this is the end of the run. This is the end of the run. And I think this is the toughest one. I mean, obviously, they've lost in Denver before. But I think going into Arrowhead, I know elements aren't a big thing for them. But it's going to be cold. It's going to be really loud. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be a night game. This is really tough. But I think, though, that the one thing that scares me is I don't know what to expect from the Chiefs' defense.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If they get turnovers, they're golden.
If they get turnovers, the Chiefs are going to win by double figures.
Yeah, right. It'll be a blowout.
Yeah, they'll run them out of the stadium.
But
that's a good point.
There's also the chance that the Chiefs' defense doesn't show up at all.
Gets sliced up or out-schemed.
You never know.
Out-schemed.
Exactly.
You know what's funny, Teak? What I have finally done, and I've been forthright with this, and not that I have to. All you have to do is listen to me the last couple of years. You know I've swung and missed colossally on the Pats' demise. But what at least what made it worse is that not only was I on the air saying that the Pats were going to lose, I would also bet against the Pats. Because, you know, usually you take a position if you believe it. You throw a few shekels behind it if you're into that sort of thing. At least I have finally divorced myself from attaching a monetary value to my ridiculously wild and erroneous on-air proclamations about the death of the Pats. I don't bet against the Pats anymore. Yeah. I might say they're going to lose. It's been a year since I've actually bet money against the Pats. Yeah. At least that's lesson number one. Yeah. I've learned that.
Yeah, the thing to look for, though, and Ack, you hit it right on the head, and I wanted to check the stats just to make sure I was right about this. The Kansas City Chiefs finished the regular season as the number one offense, as we all know. They were that. You could tell that from week one.
Well, it's the top four offenses that remain.
Agreed, but you could tell the Kansas City was going to be ridiculous from week one. Their defense, total yards, 31st.
For the whole year?
For the year.
I would like to see a quarterly portion of that. Can you extrapolate? Do you have the ability to?
It doesn't do it. I mean, I could, but I'd have to go into the advanced stats, and I don't have time to do it right here. But
I'd like to see what they were from the halfway point forward.
Their defense was bad. It was really bad. It got better as they got healthier on the other side. But to Ack's point, if their defense shows up, then they'll win. They'll win by 15 or 20. But if it doesn't show up, they could also lose by 15. What was the score of that game, the Pats game?
43-40.
Yeah, so it was tight.
Yeah.
It was tight.
Now, if they were to play that kind of game again, that high scoring, mm-hmm. would it still favor the Pats?
No.
You don't think so either?
Yeah. I don't think the Pats score like that anymore.
That's right. They had Josh Gordon back then. That's true.
And they don't score that quickly.
They got a big game that night, too.
The bomb. He caught that touchdown. Yep. When Brady stepped, I mean, it was actually a poor play on the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, agreed.
Remember that right part of the end zone where Gore was kind of like a center fielder misjudging a pop up? I forget who the defender was, but I thought he misjudged.
It wasn't Aqib Talib and it wasn't Marcus Peters.
there you go. That says it all. Let's see. Before we get Ack's update here, we'll come back. We'll do inbounds, out of bounds. Yeah, that's right. I mean, even that I was going to say the last eight games or so of the season, that would include the 54 points they gave up in L.A. at the Coliseum, that mm-hmm. great game. If you love offense, they gave up 40 after the bye in week 13 to the Raiders. And they gave up 33. They won that game 40-33. They gave up 24 in overtime against the Ravens. They gave up 29 to the Chargers. Yes, loss.
That was a loss. That was the 2-point conversion game.
Yes. And they gave up. Yes. When Rivers was hitting the head, the non-call, that was a great game. And then they scored. That was Damien Williams' first real time to get loose because Ware had played the previous game, and that's when Damien Williams really got the majority of the workload, and that kind of changed that dynamic. And then the game, you know, and this is what worries me. You know, forget about the last week against the Raiders. They won 35-3. That means nothing. That game against Seattle, that Sunday night game, I remember we had just moved into our house, and I was in the basement. You know, Santa sent me a text message. I had to help him out a little bit with the with Colton's car. I had to, you know, had to do that. So I poured myself a little Johnny Blue, and I was going for the championship. You know about the fantasy. You won, I won. Yeah. And I was so – I could not wait to watch that game. But if you said, hey, give me five options on how this game plays out, 38-31 Seattle, I wouldn't even thought about that. That is a game that worries me. Because the Pats could play a similar game outside of Russell Wilson moving out of the pocket, which Brady can't do.
Nope.
But they can run. They've got reliable receivers, not stars, but reliable ones. That's something the Pats are going to try to mirror. I'll let the football people diagnose that. Whatever they did that night against Kansas City, Seattle, he's going to pull some stuff from there.
They gave up 460 yards in that game.
That was an ugly one.
Yep.
That was ugly. All right. Axe update, inbounds, out of bounds after that. Here's Rich Ackerman. All righty, one more wins all it's going to take for a ticket to Atlanta, Super Bowl 53 on CBS. Arguably the greatest of all time, Tom Brady leads the Pats into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs and their sensational young stud quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Coverage of the AFC Championship game presented by Intuit TurboTax Live kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, only on CBS. All right, so top of the hour, Teek and I have set aside some bold predictions for Conference Championship Sunday. We'll get to that. We've got the blast as well. You ready for some inbounds, out of bounds, Teek?
I am.
Are you ready?
There I am.
You sure?
Let's get to it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Geeky and Tierney.
All right, here we go, partner. All right, first up. So, after Cam Newton was drafted by the Panthers back in 2011, owner Jerry Richardson admitted that he told Cam he'd rather his new franchise quarterback not get any tattoos. Well, less than a year after Richardson sold the team, he had to, Cam reportedly got his first tattoo on Monday. Interesting timing. An unknown design on his left hand. Many naturally assumed that he held off this long because Richardson prohibited it. But Newton defended his former owner, posting, quote, in caps, he never said I could not get a tattoo. I was free to do whatever, caps, I wanted to do. Stop with the bleep, exclamation, end quote. We know the Yanks are famous. They don't allow players to grow facial hair and other mustaches. So teams and their owners should be able to dictate just how players dress and present themselves during the season.
Don't surprise you, BT. Inbounds. Absolutely. You represent your team. You're a brand. You're trying to create an image. So absolutely, it's inbounds. Is it right? And are guys going to do what the hell they want anyways? Absolutely inbounds as well. And if, look, the really great players will do whatever they want to do because they know that they're cut proof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that owners it's different with the Yankees because it's really just facial hair and how you're going to present yourself. They're not trying to take away your
individuality.
Yeah, your individual expression.
Yeah.
I think it's inbounds. They can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
They're good. The great players are going to do whatever they feel like doing.
Hmm.
It's the marginal ones that get caught here.
Well, I think it depends on the situation. I mean, when the Yankees got Jason Giambi, he was a great player coming off an MVP with the A's, and he had a good form.
Yeah, but the Yankees are different.
Why?
Because the Yankees are, like, literally the greatest baseball organization.
Well, you don't have to sell me too hard on that. I'm with you on that. But
so you get that part. And if you're Jason Giambi, it's like an honor. It's not like a team's desperate. Hey, Jason, we need you. We need you. We need you.
He willingly signed on, so he knew the deal. That's what I'm saying.
And he knew the history of the organization.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's a little tricky. I could go either way.
It is.
I'll go inbounds though. I just have to look in the mirror and just answer this how I'm constructed. And you know, as much as I hated it every day, first to eighth grade, wake up, put on a tie, go to Catholic. No, I didn't hate Catholic school. I didn't love wearing the tie. I actually loved Catholic school. Didn't love wearing the tie. Had to do that every day. You know, high school, I had to wear a blazer and these ugly, corny, geeky, nerdy-looking penny loafers. And I had to take my earring out. And your hair had to be short. You had to blazers.
Do it or get expelled, BT.
You
got expelled anyway.
Kicked
out of the prom.
Why did I get kicked out of the prom? I was banned from the prom.
Banned from the prom. Okay.
That's probably worse. At least if you were kicked out of the prom, you were allowed to go to the prom. I wasn't even allowed to go to the prom. They preemptively kicked me out. They figured once I get there, they'd kick me out anyway. Yes, I did not go to my prom, but I went to about 7 or 8 others. I got a lot of invites.
It's actually better.
Yes, that's a paper thing. Exactly. That's true. I got some stories. I'm going to say inbounds, but I'm going to also, I understand that this is an age thing a bit.
Yeah.
This is could be construed as a race thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layers here, but
agreed.
I am a person of discipline, even though it might not always seem it. At my core, I am easily inbounds for me. No problem.
I couldn't play for the Yankees right now. With my beard.
You're not good enough. That's why. We don't need you.
That's true.
Are you in or are you out?
All right,
it's for Don.
Don, let's go. Get that 6-inch stiletto ready, buddy. The Sixers, listen, Joel Embiid is questionable for their game. This was last night against the Pacers. They whacked him. He had tightness in his back. Now, before the game, the TNT cameras caught the Sixers training staff working diligently to loosen up his back, but based on his facial expressions, they were not able to really, iron it out. He was a little bit banged up. He only played 6 minutes before being subbed out. And at halftime, Charles Barkley, no surprise, a little high heat for his former team.
Let me just say this about the Philadelphia 76ers. They've got to be the stupidest organization in the history of sports.
Why?
You got a franchise player who's got a bad back, who's injury prone, and you got him out. He can barely walk. You got him out there playing in a regular season game. You have to be the stupidest organization.
They sat him out for a year.
Dude, he's hurt.
I love it. Why? Like, they just teeing off. Come on, Charles, give us a ball. Why? All right, so as we know, Embiid played just 31 years in his first three seasons in the NBA, so that's a night-to-night maintenance. And even without him really doing anything, at least during that early span, they still crushed and they won by 20-something points there. That was in Indianapolis as well. It's a good win. So Charles Barkley's comments against the 76ers. Oh, I mean, that's, I know we laugh when he says that, but if you actually just take away the words and what and like examine what he said, I mean, he crushed him.
He did crush
him. Or is he in bounds or out of bounds?
He's out of bounds because, look, you can't control what Joel Embiid wants to do. Joel Embiid wanted to get out there and play against the Pacers.
Oh, I totally disagree. Fundamentally disagree with what you just said.
You don't think that Joel Embiid wants to
control him? I think he wants to play. I don't disagree with that, but you got to save him from himself.
So it's, at this point, you're having a dialogue with the player. Hey, how do you feel, Joel? I feel good, man. I want to give it a try. Let's go out there and get this thing done. But just listening to Charles, so out of bounds for me, because I think part of this was Joel Embiid saying, this is the Pacers, man. They're one of the top teams in the East, at least we're supposed to at the beginning of the season. I want to play. But just listening to Charles.
Let me
start out by saying this.
Yeah. I love they get the music under him. Why, Charles? Tell us why, Charles.
Why? Here's a softball for you, Charles.
Exactly.
Crush that one.
Exactly. Those guys are so good. They have such great chemistry. I love them. All right. My answer is inbounds. Now, I don't dispute the outward display of passion to get on the court. You know I respect that stuff. Suit up, try to fight through it, try to play, whatever. But at some point, you got to protect the player from himself, especially when somebody's got a litany of injuries on his resume. So, was he a little harsh? Yeah, of course, they're not the dumbest organization in the history of sport, which is, I believe, the direct quote. But I believe he's tilted in the right direction. I mean, they've made myriad mistakes in terms of who they've drafted with laced with injuries. I can't say he's totally off base here. So, based on that, while it's not a perfect inbounds, it's more inbounds than out of bounds. I'm with Charles.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, a little Baseball Hall of Fame voting set to be revealed next week. You know I love this stuff here. And with nearly half of the ballots being revealed, we got an interesting trend here. Mariano, my boy Mariano, number 42, Mariano Rivera, number 42, appearing on a so far perfect, it's never going to happen, it never has, 100% of the ballots. However, more surprisingly, how about Roger Clemens gaining some traction? 73.3% of the known ballots. Barry Bonds, 72.8% of the ballots. So they are moving up just shy of the 75% needed for election, which, that's obviously a good trend. Now, Pirates ace Chris Archer, however, not having it, not feeling it, tweeted this out yesterday, quote, if you ever failed the test, got suspended, or admitted to using PEDs, you should not be in the Hall of Fame. You disgraced the, that's a strong words. You disgraced the integrity of the game. Your stats are tainted. You don't deserve the honor. End quote. In or out. Either Bonds or Clemens will get in this year.
I'm going to say inbounds, BT. We talked about this many times. Really, we've been on this for about the last 3 years, BT, saying this is going to happen sooner rather than later. It's not going to be a Legends thing that these guys get in. The trend was going this way. But if I'm going to take Chris Archer right at his word, you know, stick with Roger. Roger never failed a test. He never got suspended. Mm-hmm. He never admitted to using PEDs.
Those are minor miracles, by the way. Jumping through hoops on like Fonzie throwing a jump through the hoop when he jumped the shark there.
None of that happened.
Geez, so, that guy never
failed a test. I don't know exactly who he's talking about, Chris Archer. I don't think Barry Bonds ever failed a test.
But he didn't
I don't think Barry Bonds was ever suspended. I don't think Barry Bonds ever admitted to using PEDs either.
We rubbed in the clear.
Potentially.
That's
lied.
It's called the clear, right?
To Congress, yes.
Yeah, the clear.
He potentially lied to Congress. That was the only trouble that either of these two guys got into.
Which is why he was up for perjury, which is totally different from what we're talking
about
now.
Exactly. So inbounds, BT.
Inbounds. Tiki always siding with them cheaters, huh? the question is, either Bonds or Clemens will get in this year. Different from how I feel, big picture. Yeah. I don't think they'll get in yet. But, and Tiki is right, you and I have been a little bit ahead of the curve with this, where there's been a thawing in this room, an understanding of the movement, the direction of baseball. It's a museum. You cannot have 15 to 20 years of baseball history without Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens being visibly honored all over the hallowed halls of Cooperstown. Even if you want to throw a little bark, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But last year, I believe Roger was 57% and Bonds was 56%.
That's right.
And it's interesting because Clemens is still one percentage point ahead.
No.
Only now it's in the 70s. Right. It's interesting. They will eventually get in. I've come around. I'm okay with it. But I think that happens next year.
All right.
And I think some idiot does not vote in Mariano just to be a clown and get name recognition. Mariano should get 100%, whoever, much like a few other guys should.
Whoever
as well.
Is the 0.01% that says no to Mariano, let's not say his name.
Yeah, but you know, we won't, but somebody will.
I know, but I'm talking about us.
I'm okay with that.
Let's not say his name.
That's cool.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Now, that's interesting. And, Mike, I read that article last week as well. There's a guy in Boston. I don't know who it is. I forget his name. Not Sean Asi, not any of the guys. Ryan, none of the guys that we have on the show or have had on the show. But somebody's going to abstain from voting. So at least that's their way of whatever saying. Yep. But they won't be the one who taints the possible 100%.
Bill Ballew of the Telegram.
Bill Ballew?
Yeah.
Billy Ballew?
Bill
That's a good baseball name. Like, I think Billy Ballew, now batting first baseman, Billy Ballew. Doesn't you sound like a left-handed masher? Billy Ballew. Doesn't it? No, nobody. Well, because none of you clowns play baseball. Nobody's
right.
Oh, Santa played.
I never had walkout music. I never had any of that
you don't
fun.
You played football. You don't think that sounds like an outfielder or a first baseman?
I think with the right inflection, you can make any name sound like a good first baseman.
Put your face right on the camera. Right on the camera. Oh! Bang!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.